Hey everyone, this is John Papagiorgio of Papa's Basement. Once again, Sean Westfall was kind enough to let us use his unified scene theater and co-host so that we could do a live show titled What the Fuck is Wrong with You, where you guys came to us and asked your personal questions, and we, as best we could, gave you answers. Somewhat serious, somewhat funny, hopefully both. It was a great time, and if you weren't able to make it, and you do live in the DC area, I don't like you anymore. But we're going to have another show in May, and I hope to see you there. In the meantime, enjoy this episode, which contains, at the very end, a bonus question that I was too stupid to see a friend had texted me during the show for us to read during it. So I'm going to answer that one at the very end. Enjoy everything. Bonus. Regular content. Yes.
Good evening, everyone here at the Unified Scene Theater. Give yourselves a round of applause. Yeah. For being here at the show, What the Fuck is Wrong with You, starring John Papagiorgio.
Yeah!
And yours truly, Sean Westfall. So,
also, yeah!
So, Papa, why don't you talk about or describe what the show's about?
What's going on here? As you have, you know, succinctly put it multiple times, a blue-collar dunce and an ivory tower prince are here to solve your problems. We have these different lifetimes worth of wisdom.
Yes.
If I can relate your problems to that of a stuck door or a quick set lock, you know, something like that. That's my field. We got it done. And
right. And if I could relate
to college.
If I could relate your problems to the prologue to the Canterbury Tales, I will do my best to do that as well. So, yeah, you guys are in good hands.
Yeah, we're here to solve your problems. You come up, you offer us something, and we've got your back. People have emailed in.
Yeah.
Pretty much everyone who failed to make it tonight at least emailed in, so that's good. Right. And
so 5,000 emails then, right?
Roughly, yeah, roughly. We are massive. And I have some shit that I've had happen, like big and small in my life, that
right.
I want to toss out there if you guys are too. I think the clinical term from my side of things is too chicken shit
right.
to come up.
Right.
But thanks for laughing. And, yeah, that's about it. That's the show. That's it. It's just 50 minutes of problems.
So I guess we could leave it up to the audience. Do you want to share one of our problems first, or would you like to just dive into your problems immediately? We can do whatever it is you want to do.
I'm seeing a hand. All right.
A philosophical question. So why don't you come up?
Yes.
Grab a mic.
An audience
to the
member
mic.
Has stated
and
we're
again,
not.
You, this is completely anonymous, so you don't have to give us your real
whatever
name.
Whatever name you want.
Right.
And that is the rule, by the way. We cannot hear you unless you grab one of these two mics.
Right.
And then just treat it like a Fisher Price, you know, like the thing that lets you sing over the radio type mic. Just
right.
Face right on it.
Okay.
Yeah.
There we go.
Okay. So, living in Washington, D.C.,
mm-hmm.
things are...
I know your problem already, but go
ahead.
I know
you do.
Yeah.
Things are necessarily partisan. Do you think that comedy in D.C. is partisan because of the location, or is comedy in D.C. inherently political? Thank you.
All right, Professor.
Next question. Thank you very much. So if I can reframe as the... are you asking, do you think that... Do we think that comedy is political because of our location, or do we think that the comedy terrain here in D.C. is political just because comedy in general across the land is political or political or partisan? That's an interesting question. And is that your problem in particular?
Philosophical question.
Philosophical question. Okay. Well, that'll get us on the green. Sure. All right.
You've reminded me of my mom who learned I wanted to do comedy and was like, why don't you try out for Capital Steps? And thought that would be a career path because we're in D.C., so why not?
That's right.
I'll simply say this, quoting again from my lifetime's worth of knowledge. I'll quote the great Howard Stern.
Good.
What works in one city works in another city. Comedy is kind of a universal. I find that for the most part to be the case. I dip around New York and Baltimore. I don't notice any great difference, and they don't have our venerated political institutions contained therein. It seems to be the same, I don't know, city to city.
I think that people who live in D.C., I think people who come to D.C. primarily because they have an idea about the world and, You know, and something I've noticed, like, teaching improv and performing improv in this city is that those people who do improv, their day jobs are very sort of like, you know, I work on this NGO, I work on this issue. So I think that, that, you know, in the same way that, like, whatever is, and stand-up comedians can tell you this as well, the things that are sort of, like, in their own lives end up being on stage. And since I think that the people who come to D.C. are a bit more wonkish and a bit more policy-driven, I think that stuff tends to end up in their acts and things like that. And, or if, you know, if they're doing stand-up in their acts, or if they're doing improv, it tends to end up in the way they sort of operate and view the world and the character choices they make. Is that philosophical enough? Is that high-minded yeah. enough for you? Or do you have a follow-up question? Have we answered that question?
Okay. We were thinking more questions like, my girlfriend clogged the toilet and yeah. now I want to dump her.
But if you want to get high-minded, yes. yeah, we'll get high-minded
sure.
first.
I'm just wondering, I've heard the rumor that politics is rife in the D.C. comedy scene,
uh-huh.
that it's very political, that it's...
If you
know.
Mean there's, like, almost no conservative comedy, then I guess that is the truth.
Yeah,
it's balkanized. That's what I'm trying to say, and I'm trying to find out why.
Yeah, well, I think that this is why. Where I think that I would agree with John, and that, like, I don't think any scene is different. I think that there are factions and yeah. And fiefdoms and petty territorial disputes that pop up, and it's between stand-up and improv, and between certain sections of improv who are loyal to certain.
You mean? D.C. is not the only city where I can see a fat, bearded white dude with glasses doing comedy.
No, that's right. You
Whoa,
can see it just about okay. anywhere. I know.
Get,
that's
get
great.
The F out.
So. Cool.
And why do you think that is?
I'm sorry?
Why do you think that is? It's not lighthearted?
Now we're getting into, like, that's the way human nature operates. We yeah. like to section ourselves off into certain...
There's a need for it.
Yeah.
There's simply yeah. anyone who wants to do the kumbaya view of life, there is a need in humanity to see the other.
Yeah, it looks like we have another question.
I have a follow-up question.
All right, so...
Why did you bring the noisiest snacks that have ever been made to a podcast taping?
Yes.
And also, why are... Well, first of all, the stand-up comedy, I can say... The last show that we did stand up here was mostly us talking about our cats,
yes.
not at all politics. Thinking is
very
why,
left okay, wing. Yeah.
Aside from like Dennis Miller and Blue Collar Comedy Tour,
right,
why uh-huh. do you think that the overwhelming majority of good comedians are all liberal?
This has gone from a we're going to help you with your personal yeah. problems to a just for laughs panel. That we like a poor man's just for laughs panel.
This
I don't
is
know
what
why
keeps
that,
the man up at night.
I don't
Brian.
Know why this has happened, but we'll do our best to answer. So go ahead and ask that question again. Just shout it again.
Why are there no funny conservative comedians? There's like four.
That's a good question. That's a good question.
And can I ask you to opine based on that? Some have said that Fox News is the medium for conservative speak, but yet comedians and yeah. evening news are our version of Fox
News. Does anyone have a clogged toilet out there? Does anyone have a clogged toilet that we'll be able
we'll
to...
We'll settle for anything, shitting, a puppy.
So let's address the question from the audience about conservative comedians. Why do you think there are no conservative comics? Why do you think that is?
You know, I can get philosophical on this. Starting any deep thought you want to hear starts with an But I feel a lot of conservative people, and I have like very I got some Trumpy friends. You know what?
Right.
Whatever. It, shit happens. And I find in general conservative people kind of like just a worldview that's like this is the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a lot of like room for wonderment in
right.
people that swing that way for whatever reason. It's very much like, here's the fucking truth, and I'm going to tell it to you. The comedy is very much rooted in a deep sense of, I don't fucking know. I am lost. I am a man-child. I am mm-hmm. stupid in this world. And you're kind of giving your take, but you very much understand, I'm a dipshit. This is just my laughable take. There's a lot of other opinions out there.
Mm-hmm.
And it just doesn't jive on average with a sense of, this is the truth, I will tell you, and you will listen.
Yeah, I think I agree with that. I think that for conservatives, the questions are already answered. And,
exactly.
And I
yeah.
think that for progressives, are kind of in search of the answers. And I'm not saying that you necessarily have to be a progressive to be a funny or to be a comedian. It's just that at least there's a bit of self-doubt on the parts of comedians. And like, you know, you're dealing with people who are putting their neuroses on stage who don't know themselves. So even internally, these questions aren't answered, as opposed to culturally, sociopolitically. So that's sort of, we're kind of in agreement on that.
Yeah, and I'll take it one further. I think conservatives and liberals can very much enjoy even the same comedy, but to think I want to do this for a living, I liken getting into comedy almost like figuring out later in life that you're gay, at least for me, because I'm like around 30.
Please draw that one out for us. Please, by
it's
all means.
It's just like the entire time you've done things beforehand, you're like, this slightly feels off. This right. doesn't feel right. And then you make people laugh and you're like, finally, yeah. it all clicks.
Someone understands.
Yeah. Right. And
there you go. We have another question from the audience. Please, let's hope this is a personal question of some sort. Some question that we are, by the way, completely unable to answer, you know, medically, diagnosed. Yeah. But just a question that you could
answer. I knew what I was walking into. So my roommate is a very proud member of the queer community, mm-hmm. and we had an argument a bit ago about, I don't know if anyone's familiar with the Showtime show, The L Word.
Yes.
I think it's the worst piece of media ever contributed to humankind. Not a fan
wow.
anyways. It's really bad. I remember sneaking watching it like as a teenager because my parents gave me a laptop and freedom, and that was a dream.
Your parents gave you both a laptop and freedom?
Well, it was a self-containing loop. It was right. like a bird going into a slightly bigger cage. That's right. kind of what happened. Right. So my argument was, it's very, some would say problematic. I hate using that word, but it has a lot of shit in it that like would not fly in 2019.
Sure.
But it was also seen, like, again, back to the progression of just liberalism, it's always changing. And my argument was, I wish this show didn't exist. It's really bad. And hers is, yeah, but it's representing people. But I'm also thinking, do you think, like, say, Japanese Americans were super psyched about seeing Mickey Rooney be on Breakfast at Tiffany's?
Yes.
You know,
emphatically,
like,
oh my
that,
God.
That was
they
my
were
immediate.
Just so excited.
Like, yeah. what, do you think when they saw Mr. Yoshinori and they're like, oh, good, we're okay. being represented?
Thank God he's
awesome.
Not a stereotype. Yeah,
yeah thank Christ we're not something horrible caricature that professors point to and go, don't do that.
But
ever
went
again.
With the medium prosthetic buck teeth.
Whereas,
showing,
and, then,
very sensitive.
And then later down the line, you know, like, you know, Bruce Lee and right. like Jackie Chan made their more debut, and then
right,
like
right.
more like, Hong Kong filmmakers came into the scene and like 10 years later. Which would be worse, just waiting that extra 10 years for a proper Asian person to portray themselves as Asian
right.
or Asian American, or the horribly offensive farce that we kind of like artificially made out?
Wait, were none of them actually gay? Brian,
we cannot hear you. Grab a
no,
mic.
But they would do
the question
this
from the
fun
audience
thing.
Was
one character though? She is like she's Latina, like Latin American, and like
that's actually Latina.
No, she's Iranian. That's the part. I'm like you could, and it's set in L.A. So you're telling me all of L.A. couldn't find one woman willing to pretend to be a Latina lesbian?
So I guess we're trying to like let's focus on
like what's worse, like just not having anything at all.
Once
or
again, your
improper?
Personal challenge has yeah. turned this into a just for laughs panel. So uh-huh. we appreciate by that.
Well, I'm just thinking like what would and also they're remaking it. So what would be an offensive stereotype you think would be fun to like see on the show? Just be
we're,
completely.
We're not taking that.
Like you know
right.
what people
yeah,
are trying
we're
to
not find.
Not my first rodeo.
First, I want to hear the two straight white men talk
yeah.
about.
Yeah, we're going to talk about
the LGBTQ
yeah.
community.
Yeah, that's great. That's
right.
Great.
I know what I did. Again, this is very deliberate. This is my design.
I'm gay for laughter, man. Sean, you want to go first?
No,
me?
I do
okay,
not.
Cool.
I do not want to go first.
All right. Well, wave goodbye to my legs as I step in the minefield. I think that the masses...
Oh, this can appeal to literally anything.
Yeah, okay.
Like,
okay.
just yeah. at all. Like, I'm just saying, like, I'd much rather wait for it to be correct than at all. Like, mm-hmm. and what do you think is, like, an example of someone being like, your heart was in the right place, this was just horribly executed.
So, in general, people seem to first be able to accept something, like, toothless and laughable. You know, that's why, like... your first gays on TV were like a Will and Grace type scenario. You know, like there wasn't a gay drama. I don't like I whenever the fuck.
Oh, no, there was first. No like, oh, we got to get
yeah,
that test
at first.
Episode.
It's like, yeah. Like
people first
Bert and Ernie, yes, thank you.
Like the first, okay, you had Bill Cosby in I Spy. That was the first through a comedy. I told you my legs would be gone. I'm doing this for you, man. Just hold my hand. Tell my mom I love her. Shoot me up with the. I'm Giovanni Ribisi right now in Private Ryan. I'm just like, give me the three fucking morphines. Just fucking kill me. I'm gonna hold you and say mommy till my eyes roll back. People, I think, are first. I think people are first, okay, like the masses, the white masses, whatever you want to call it. At first, we can't accept people on a three-dimensional level. It's first. Yeah. Thank you. At first, it has to be like, oh, this is something I can laugh with. It's safe. If something I can laugh with, that's kind of safe. Then on the coattails of that can come more serious, like, fuck you, I'm not just a laughing stock. There are more dimensions to me. So yeah, it'd be great if like every character's first appearance ever was like the most fully realized and fleshed out thing. It just never happens that way ever. Like your first gay character is going to be the black dude in Mannequin. Like that's just how it works.
Speaking of also, why do you think it's
Elwood on what was his name on Designing Women?
Shit,
what was that character's name? Elwood.
I was just play gay, sir. I cannot go back into the catalog.
Oh, follow up. Why do you think John Travolta hasn't come out as gay yet?
This is your personal problem?
I'm stuck on the metro. John made me come here.
She goes to sleep crying on a copy of Battlefield Earth. Like this fucks with her, man. As for Travolta, I think he dates back to a time period when that wasn't like cool. I know. Mm-hmm. Kelly Preston's bearding it up with him, and mm-hmm. that I can't tell you.
So is anyone having trouble with the neighbor's dog or anything?
Yes, sir.
Actually, I do have a neighbor's dog question, but we're going to go to this dapper man in the coat first in the audience who's holding a mic.
So I consider you both my fathers.
Okay. That is a massive fucking problem. Continue.
And I'm looking for advice.
Okay.
With the cure for AIDS rediscovered again.
Oh my God, he has AIDS! Oh my God, I'm so sorry.
Oh yes, HIV, the cure
God,
for
DC,
HIV.
God, DC, Jesus Christ.
I'm not laughing at your HIV. Continue.
Can I have unprotected sex?
What the fuck? Why?
No. Next question. because HIV/AIDS is not the only thing that can be transmitted through through unprotected sex. All kinds of STDs. For instance, HPV, which I have right now as we speak. So,
or the worst disease of all, baby.
Exactly, baby, right.
B-A-B-Y. So, highly communicable.
So apparently there's another person in the audience with a question. Let's hope it's a personal one. So,
sure. So I have a personal question.
Okay.
Sure.
My wife and I bought a house almost a year ago.
Mazel tov. Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. And it's a house with it's detached.
Most
and
houses
has
are.
A yard.
Right.
And, you know, there's a lot of work that goes into it.
Right.
You have drainage issues and you have to get, unclog the gutters and
right.
there's some masonry work and, probably some gardening that has to go into it. And so I'm game to do all of these things, but my wife they're not fun for her.
Uh-huh.
And so, the time you have to do these is generally the weekends.
Right.
So
right.
At work.
Right.
But if I say, hey, can we take this Saturday to go to Home Depot and find a ladder that goes up 30 feet so we
right.
can unclog the gutters to,
right.
improve the drainage issue, so then we can then clear the brush
right.
from the back entrance. She's like, fuck that. You don't love me.
What really?
Well, I'm not spending, quality time doing fun and interesting things with her. And so I don't know how to make these investments in our home, this place that we're going to live,
mm-hmm.
Appealing to her when I do think that investing in them in the long run will ultimately bring more joy than going to brunch on 14th Street.
Got it. You have any thoughts on this?
All right, so you are saying, just to rephrase, your wife taps out on a lot of home maintenance because it's not quote-unquote fun, as if you get your jollies digging dead squirrels out of the gutters.
No, I mean...
Okay. You know, I am a listener, Sean.
The more dead squirrels, the better, but I'm not sure that's the point. It's just I'm put in a position where I can either do these things on my own and be accused of, you know, being neglectful or selfish, oddly, in some way. Yes. Or I can put these things off, which in the long run will be detrimental and cause
more damage.
More time, more money.
So let me ask you this. Does your wife have responsibilities inside the house as well? Like you know, marriage is sort of like, you know, I take care of this and you take care of this. Are there things that your wife takes care of inside the house?
Sean, she doesn't know how to get the fucking mail.
So you do all the laundry? You do all the dishes? You do all the cooking? Do I have that right?
I mean, not 100% would be unfair.
I'm not saying these skill sets are, or these responsibilities,
let me put it this way,
are defined by sex. What I'm saying is that some things are, some people have better skill sets than others. And there are things that I should be taking care of in my home and my wife should not be taking care of. Conversely, there are things that she should be taking care of and I should not be taking care of. So I guess I'm asking, what are your wife's skill set? What does she do? What does she like to do in the house?
I'm going to play the sample of Liam Neeson's speech from Taken.
Yeah, I have a certain set of skills.
Right.
No,
right.
I'm...
Flawless impression.
Thank you. The cooking and cleaning stuff is not... That's not an issue. Like, it's not like...
I'm not saying it's an issue. I'm just saying, are there things that she primarily takes care of? Yes or no?
No.
So you guys do the laundry together, you fold the clothes together, you do clean the house together, you do the dishes together.
Sure. I would say I do the majority of those things.
Okay.
But it's not completely binary.
Okay, cool.
But, I mean, if I get hit by a bus tomorrow,
right,
the house would be foreclosed on in 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
Not because an inability to pay, but just because... lack the know-how.
Upwards of 10 dead squirrels.
She just lack the know-how. Like, has no idea what the mortgage company is.
So
has no idea how to pay.
Okay. So your skill set is like financial. You take care of the bills. You pay the mortgage.
Sounds like he does goddamn everything. that's kind of what I'm getting.
I mean, yeah. Of this here, it's not, and it's obviously not. Like, she has a. She has a PhD. Like, she's very capable of doing these things.
We're not doubting her intelligence.
There's no interest in doing them. And, like, my ability to, like, when I raise these things, it's somehow viewed as a negative, and she's being put upon, and then I'm using time that could be spent having fun and talking about emotions and whatever else, right? And then I'm prioritizing logistics
right
over other things when mm-hmm. I view as like, let's get the things that we need to get done, and then we can go have fun and we can mm-hmm. talk about our feelings.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm going to take this one.
Take this one.
Having watched years of TGI Friday sitcoms, first of all, I would... the man's head is in his hand, but joke answer... fake some of the shit that's going to be coming down the pike if the home isn't maintained to scare her straight. Like, years from now, all this crap will be falling apart. I don't know, start an electric fire in a room you don't use that much. Do something, clog that toilet, full circle, callback.
You know, another answer might be, maybe a non-joke answer, would be to get an estimate of what it would cost to replace the gutters. To get a new water heater, to get, you know, the things that need to be, you know, kept up in the house, and say, sweetheart, look, this is what's going to cost us if we don't take care of these things.
And I was thinking they could do their brunch drinking while on the ladder.
There
and
you go.
The gutters,
there you
but
go. Yeah, just
then it dawned on me.
Mimosas. Go up the ladder once you get a mimosa, right?
So she's just not particularly into any kind of, I was going to say handiwork, but that's a bad joke. Thank you. He's staring at me. Okay. you have to at some point say, look, we are doing this one thing. We'll do it together. Afterwards, we'll pop some goddamn Molly.
So I don't want to pry too much. Do you plan on having a family sometime soon? Is your wife interested in having a family?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean,
well,
she is.
Yeah.
Right.
But
kids come with a lot of responsibility.
Exactly. Yes. Well, that's my question.
Are you psyched to raise your children?
I guess my point is, if she wants to have a family, you should remind her that like that nesting impulse is going to be. She's going to want a safe place.
Yeah.
So and she's going to want to invest money that would otherwise be spent in maintenance of the house.
So this is
in the future of your daycare. I mean, oh my God, daycare.
Right, and the paperwork for daycare.
And the paperwork for daycare.
You need to apply
and the applications. And applying for whatever school.
Right. I mean,
applying for a school district in D.C. is a contact fucking sport.
Exactly.
And it's going to take time and effort, right?
I struggle with this because she says that, you know, it takes 9 months to have a kid.
That's. She's absolutely right, by the way.
She is right about
Sean,
that.
Sean, you're the one that went to college. Is that true?
That's true. Okay. The gestation period for a normal human female is 9 months.
Okay. Thank you for clarifying. And she says that, and you know, you can change in 9 months.
Right.
That's a hell of a time to change.
My point is the die is already cast at that point.
Right.
And why would I, without any evidence to the contrary, think that she's going to be able to change in that 9 month period? Like, it seems like a very big gamble.
Right.
I mean, you're literally gambling on a life.
Oh,
at that point.
Fuck. So she's saying, knock me up and I'll be responsible?
Yeah.
Whoa!
Whoa! Boy.
Whoa!
Oh.
Whoa!
Does your wife know how the internet works?
Yeah. That's.
Does she work?
Yeah, she works.
Okay. Well, I want to give like
so here's the thing. Here's the thing. So I mean, you could acquiesce to this bargain, but you should also point out it's like, look, when the baby arrives, that you know, having you know, raising a child, especially the first couple of weeks/months/years, is a two parent full-time job. Midnight feedings and colicky babies. You're not going to have time to do all the things that you could be doing. Or should be doing, maintaining that house, if you're up at 2 a.m., you know, feeding a child.
So. I'm going to go back again to my TGI Friday references. When when Cody asked his parents, Suzanne Summers and Patrick Duffy, on Step by Step for a dog, and claimed that he would do everything for this dog before it was purchased, and then he got it, and this might shock you, his behaviors didn't change, and he did not become more responsible.
Mm.
That's an episode.
That might be Exhibit A there.
So you're saying I can take the kid to the pound after a year?
Exactly. Precisely.
Like,
in Virginia, you can take
him. No, so here's the thing. You guys are coming at this with reason.
Thank you.
And logic.
Thank you.
Which I appreciate.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. It does not work.
No. It doesn't.
I need emotional manipulation techniques.
Then just cry. Just cry. Dude, okay, woman. Yeah, hop on a little bit.
All right. Okay.
All right, we're going to get a woman's take. A woman has come from the audience to join us on stage.
A so-called woman.
Okay, so let's get the womanly wisdom here.
Yep.
Okay, clearly.
Oh. What's wrong with the mic?
Is this working?
It records, it doesn't amplify.
Oh, yeah.
Clearly. There is investment in this dynamic between the two of you, and I would want to know why, but I think the best approach, and see if she'll like it, is to completely acquiesce for a period of time.
Fuck, this is horrible.
Trust me on this. So if you were to do it her way, would there be dishes around? Would there be dead squirrels? Just do that. Do exactly what she wants. Talking about your feelings is fun. Brunch is fun. Do it and see what happens. What she will want after that. Because it's almost as though she is pushing you into the father responsible role so she does not have to be an adult.
No, but I like having electricity on.
Are you saying that the electricity is at issue? If you're paying the bill, so
I am. Yes.
Right.
No, it's not like a financial thing. But if I, but if I were to say, hey, let's split this and let's, can you take care of the electricity?
King Solomon,
can you
the baby?
Just, can you just pay the electricity bill? Just, you know, when it comes in every month, you log on online. You literally, it takes like four clicks.
So wait, are you saying that she's resentful that you're even spending time doing that?
No, it just doesn't occur to her that that's a thing that needs to be done.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
And then I got this when, cause, so it's tax season.
Right, right. Yeah, you have to do all the taxes.
So
right.
I had to repeatedly ask for her W-2.
Right.
Which is a thing. I got audited last year because of missing W-2s from her from 2016.
That's not good.
That was fun.
Wow.
And here's, so it was my fault because I had not included her in the decision-making process. And we need to start at the beginning. So we mm-hmm. needed to jointly decide whether or not we were going to pay taxes. And then we needed to decide whether or not we're going to use an accountant.
Right.
And then we need to decide whether we're going to do line, you know, itemized deduction
mm-hmm.
versus the standard deduction.
Right.
Brian.
You know, there's a method that Carl Winslow employed to teach discipline to Eddie Winslow on the TGI Friday Family Matters program. When Eddie was remiss with regard to washing the dishes, he placed them in the shower so Eddie couldn't shower. So if you have a baby and she's not taking care of the baby, place the baby in the shower.
Right. I think what you're bumping up against is, I think this is a challenge that you're just simply going to have to throw money at.
Pretty much.
And meaning that you're going to have to find someone to clean your gutters. You're going to have to find someone to do all these things. And you have to explain to her that that's going to eat financially into your opportunities to go have fun and say, look, we don't have the money to go have fun because I am throwing money into these things.
Yeah, I definitely won't be the bad guy if that happens, Sean. It's a good point. It's a good point. So with the kid thing, right?
Right.
Yes, I do. I'm already, that ship has sailed. I'm going to need to throw money at it.
Right, right.
I'm going to need to get an au pair.
Right.
So that brings me to the next question.
Mm-hmm.
Can I fuck the au pair?
No, you can't. Well, I don't know.
Is that what they taught you in college?
That was English Literature 302. That was Northanger Abbey. Jane Austen character.
Why don't you suggest to her?
Yeah, this is a good question.
How long has
it
the audience
like you're still,
member
you're still
been
like 5 years.
Yeah.
5 years.
Mm-hmm. You
might suggest to her that you do not want to have another child because clearly she is acting like one. You already have all the
responsibility.
A woman
said that?
If
I said that to my wife, I would be picking up teeth.
because you would have punched her afterwards.
Exactly right. Yeah.
Is there anyone who's not thinking like that's not very adult-like behavior?
No, it's
that not. Sounds judgy.
Yeah, it sounds like you married my mom. So congrats, Dad. I don't know.
Okay, because I said that on Saturday when I couldn't find the car keys,
mm-hmm.
and then I found them in the car, which was parked
nice.
On the street of a major city.
So it was like a ride share for free.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Well, I think the answer is get that au pair, and the instant she's fixing your siding, give it to the au pair.
Thank you.
Yes.
Couples therapy.
There you go.
Another question here. Yeah. Yes, sir.
Hey there. This is, I don't know, I'm curious how you guys will answer this, but this is, so are we. This is a true personal...
Thank you, A.
Nice.
And
as opposed to this man and his fake
no,
life.
No, I'm sure. So I have a long commute to work. It takes about 2 hours. And I have
Jesus.
To
wow.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
So I take the Metro all the way out to the end of the Silver Line. And I've just never had to ride the Metro that long before. And I realized after a while I get kind of social anxiety dealing with all the crowds.
Right.
So I'm just short of going to a doctor, which costs money.
Yeah.
What sort of like positive mental strategies do you think I should use to kind of cope with sort of the...
So, your question is: you spend your during your 2 hour commute, which you're compelled to do, right?
Yeah.
So this is not an option. You have to get on the Silver Line. You have to get public transportation.
Yeah.
And during that ride, which is, and you work downtown. Where do you work?
I work out in Virginia.
Okay, good. So, I'm sorry. So you live in town, and then you go out to Virginia.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah, that is a significant track, and you get a little social anxiety, and
yeah.
And so, what does a social anxiety look and sound like? What does it feel like?
Sort of like just being uncomfortable with the crowd and like, you know, heart racing.
Really?
Like
okay.
Getting a little nervous, kind of things.
So. Cool.
So like a funky playlist, you know?
That's actually a DSM-5 diagnosis.
Yeah, okay.
Funky playlist for social anxiety.
Nice, all right.
You have any thoughts on this?
I mean, like non-jokey stuff, because I care about both you and Virginia as a state. Don't want any freakouts there. Have you gotten into any sort of meditative practices, any kind of deep breathing stuff? Yeah. Does that work at all?
Yeah.
I've never tried that.
So there's an app called Calm. Have you heard of Calm?
No.
It's a great app. Do you have like Bluetooth headphones you could use?
I have like earbuds.
Yeah, but whatever.
yeah.
Whatever version of a Bluetooth stick in your ear sort of thing you can listen to.
Right. Yeah.
But the Calm app has like a number of things that you could do, a number of what do you call them?
Modules.
Thank you very much. That you could indulge in to sort of help calm you. Everything from breathing exercises to counting exercises to meditative. Think of and this is.
So it's like literally someone talk. Like,
there are versions of it. There are some modules have someone talking. You think of a clear blue stream. Now you're waiting in the clear blue stream. Can you hear the birds chirping? You know that kind of thing. Only much better done. Or there's simply like breathing exercises. Like if someone counts. To 60, and during that time, they say, now breathe in, breathe out. So, I mean, and, you know, the beautiful thing about that, about Calm, is that sometimes you only need it for a few minutes. Like,
right.
You don't have to listen to it constantly for 2 hours, and you feel better, and you can turn back something on, and you just take off your earbuds and re-engage with your community. So that's one. The other is, have you heard of marijuana? Have you heard of dope? Just... Blaze up
on the metro,
right. It's
right,
legal
right.
in DC, so okay. You'll be fine.
So as long as I puff before I get to
that's
Virginia,
right. That's right.
All right.
And you can have it delivered. You can have it delivered to you, like on the metro, right?
If Calm is like a pay app and you don't want to, or it's not in your app store, you can go to a website I use to deeply concentrate, youporn.com. I'm a big fan of that on the subway. It helps with my breathing. Very, very deep breaths.
Those are both great answers.
Breathe in, breathe out, breathe in, count.
Exactly.
Cool. Thank you for that question. Another question. Yes, sir.
More questions.
That's a pretty good segue. I'm going to give you guys a softball while I'm turning 40.
Congratulations. Mazel tov.
Hasn't happened yet. Right, okay. Well, it's coming up soon.
Mazel not tov.
Coming up soon, 2 months from now. And, I've kind of existential crisis, of course, turning 40. This is what happens, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm starting to realize that I've kind of crafted my entire life around having fun and getting laid.
Mm-hmm. Oh, boo-hoo-hoo!
However, the impending erectile dysfunction
okay.
is really, really a major concern in my life right
You'd
now.
You think this is a question for Sean, but I can feel it.
I don't know if you gentlemen have had that experience, but how have you dealt with that?
I love the mounds of presumption built into that question. So your existential crisis isn't one of the soul, it's one of the penis. Do I have that right?
It is a major concern, I would say. That is the primary
the
concern.
The Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost being three aspects of God. You know, the Spirit, the penis, it's all.
That's right. Okay. Do you want to feel this one?
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, if you think that it's not going to work there and you're big on safe sex, because if you're not big on safe sex, just kind of do that teenage drunken grinding until something happens and something goes in there and you're fine. But if you're
worried
about...
What the fuck is wrong with
you? Could you give me some more information on how that works?
I have had two different products sent my way by a friend. No. This isn't me copying out. It's my friend sending me different boner pills that I use. So I'm owning this. Don't worry. There's a liquid Cialis that doesn't taste horrific that I've used on occasion. One time I popped it and walked it on the Met.
Do you take that orally or?
Yeah, it's just you put it on a dropper.
No, it's a suppository. You stick it up your ass.
Yes, it's a 12-inch suppository, and you will not stop being hard.
You'll stop worrying about your erection.
Than usual, then,
that's pretty much what will happen.
Just a lot of questions, but you'll be hard. Yeah.
Do I go to Burning Man next year? What do I do?
It doesn't taste horrible, and for 3 days, it's going to be like you're 12 in an algebra class again. Like, you'll just need a textbook in front of your pants at all times.
Excellent. That's exactly what I need.
You can
actually
also get, like, cheap Mexican Viagra online.
Canadian Viagra, yeah. Canadian Cialis.
Is Canadian or Mexican better?
The Mexican one I have that I haven't used, but there is a picture of a rhino on the packaging, and a rhino is a very hard creature, so I think...
That's right. It does have a big horn.
It has the horn.
That's right. That's
yeah.
right. That's pretty on the nose.
Stout there. Hooves, that's yeah. Right. He's all hard, that rhino. Nature's artist, that rhino.
Thank you for that question.
Yeah.
You know, what I love about these questions that we've been asking, that you've been getting, they're also high-minded, so I appreciate that. It's very cool. Yeah.
But legit, there are free pharmacies that don't require a prescription. I think Blue Sky Drugs is one.
If you order off Canadian websites, you don't need a prescription at all.
That's actually really helpful.
They'll send it right to you.
Yeah, that's
and if
practical.
I recall a particular episode about Mad About You featuring Paul Reiser, and he popped a Viagra and had to get home in time to Helen Hunt. And
wasn't there? Did any of you guys ever watch Big Love on HBO?
Oh, many.
There was an episode in which the late great, what's the actor that played that?
Bill Paxton.
Bill Paxton.
Not Pullman.
Bill
Paxton's passed away.
Yeah, Bill Paxton. Yeah, he.
This was before he died.
How many sister wives did he have? Like
three.
His dick worked till the end.
Yeah, and he was explaining to someone. He was saying, yeah, I have to use Viagra, and the guy said, how many are you taking? And he said, oh, like 9? And like his eyes were like this, right? And he was like completely, it was just, so you don't need to take 9 from what I understand.
You just need 3 wives.
That's right.
Then your dick will be healed.
That's right.
All right. Anyone else have anything?
Another question.
Yeah. Oh, wait. Hold on, Mike.
Wait. Thank you, sir.
Okay. We have a family friend who's from a small town in Ohio. And she got accepted into a theater program.
Oh, cool. Okay. Very good.
She's not good. How do we...
Wait, she's not a good theater person?
She's not going to make it. She's not a great singer, and she's not a great dancer.
Right.
And we haven't found what she's great at, because she's only 19.
Hmm. Right.
But how do we break it to her gently to not major exclusively in theater at an out-of-state college... where you're not going to succeed at, for the most part. I'm not even trying to be, like, example being negative. It's more so you should maybe minor in business or IT or something. Like, she just wants to do theater or fine arts.
I have a lot of thoughts on this. But you
she has no connections. Yeah. It's a family from Ohio. I understand the gumption, and I understand the rotary that is, like, just trying to make it, and let alone make it if you are actually good. Like, that only goes so far. Even still, it's, you know, luck. How do we let her down gently? She should probably major in something else, too.
Well, this question is going to get real theater jargony, but is she really hot?
19.
Yeah. So she's halfway
not
there.
Not enough to make it in L.A.
Okay. All right.
So wait. So you said L.A. Is that where the theater school is?
No. It's
okay.
It is out of state, and it is like it's a good school. It's just we're trying to let her like have a backup plan. Just accounting's fun.
Right.
Just something like that. She's putting a lot of cards in her pocket. Like I got a film degree, but even I got a business minor to help me out. Like in marketing, you know,
cool.
Some kind of gumption with that. So how do we like gently tell her this is a pipe dream? And math can be fun. Maybe economics or something.
Papa Giorgio, you got to...
You know what, Mom? I will make a living in improv. Sorry.
You don't know me.
Yeah. Say yes and to life. Okay. I would say the following. At 19, maybe she hasn't hit her stride. There's a chance she will get better with a lot of training. Like, she is going to some sort of conservatory, right? Is that what's...
No. No, that's
she's
the thing.
Just
it's
going
not
to
even,
a standard college
yeah,
with a theater
this isn't
program.
Like a Juilliard. This isn't like a, you know, Tisch
wait, wait, wait,
school.
Wait. This isn't like a Juilliard.
No, okay. It's not. Right. Not at all. This is a state school. Like out of state. Like a different state she's going to go
Southwest
to state
Texas State University.
Exactly. Like Arlington, Texas, when you Google it. How do we, like, because she thinks we're not going to she's not going to make it, and we don't. But we're trying to push her to maybe. How do you tell a 19-year-old to maybe look for side options without making it sound that horrible?
I mean, I am a history major and psych minor, and I make 99% of my money doing locksmith shit. Like, life will happen whether she wants it or not. I wouldn't crush her dreams just yet. I mean, I don't get why it's important that she immediately find a mate. Like, maybe she'll get to college and the mean girls will do their God blessed
work.
Oh,
yeah, they're like wolves,
and
too.
And shame
like,
her out.
And I do love how theater kids are mad at celebrities just because, like, they're theater kids that made it. And yeah. I think that's why they're mad. But, like, it's not so much us just being, like, crushing her dream, but, like, she refuses to not study anything else at this point. And granted, she is young. We get that. Maybe she'll take a class and be like, man, you know what? Polymer chemical sciences is bitching. Unlikely. So, like, how do you push a 19-year-old to do something they don't want to do?
I don't think you can. And yeah. And not only do I not think you can, I don't think you should try. Because I think that...
she'll only burrow in.
I'm sorry?
She'll only, like,
yeah,
hunker
she'll,
down.
She'll start reacting and burrow in. Plus, I mean, you know, here's the thing. You know, I mean, that's all college is a 4-year excuse for getting adolescents off the street for a fucking 4 years. That's all it really is, right? So be glad she's not on the street, A. And B.
She's with theater kids, though. And they're worse because they have no money.
Even theater kids have to take other classes.
That is true.
So she might find herself thinking, I'm going to be a theater major, and she might walk into another class and just be completely floored by, you know, whatever. There's a great, what's the name of that historian? Stephen Ambrose.
My first guess.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. So his books were all on the New York Times bestseller. Ambrose walked into, like, he was going to be like an engineer, and he walked into his first history lecture. And it was taught by one of these veteran professors at this liberal arts school. And the lecture just completely floored him. He's like, pfft. And the first thing he did was walk over the guy and says, I want to do what you do. And so the next day he went over and changed his major, said, I'm not going to be an engineer. I'm going to be a history major. I just love history that much.
Okay.
So I guess my point is that the path isn't the path. The path is going to, you're going to walk, she's going to walk in that school. Who knows what's going to happen? She might discover on her own that, yeah, she's pretty much outclassed in this theater.
Yeah, that's what
and she might meet someone there who, she likes this thing or she likes that. You know, you never know.
Okay, just hope serendipity.
Yeah, just hope it all works out. Because, I mean, that's the way it works out anyway.
Have faith that a stock catty gay character in the theater program will destroy her self-esteem
just
with,
like,
one quip.
They are like a pack of wolves, so, like, I understand.
Oh, you're in the dance program?
Yeah.
Sure you are.
Exactly. Or an African-American groundskeeper. Or,
We'll give you're her 5 foot nothing. You don't have an ounce of athletic ability.
Okay, I'm just trying to think where to, like, you know, get that plinko board, that serendipity a bit. Like, but an easy way to push her, like, into being like, oh, you know, maybe you can be a sommelier or something.
I would say one theater needs tech.
Thank you for joining us, Brian.
As someone who did some theater... Theater needs tech. They need lighting. They need people to strike the stage. There's all sorts of stuff. One, you're only going to look bad if you crush her dreams. So let them get crushed by somebody else, and then you could be the relative who just loves them back to health.
Okay.
Also, are you paying for her to go to school?
No, I'm not. Okay. But it's like an aunt uncle kind of situation. So it's like, I understand.
Yeah. Are you sure she's back?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Yeah, you know, so I mean, there are...
Or not terrible, just not good enough for, like, the next level. Like, the next level is not going to be reached.
You know, if there were any justice in the world regarding talent, Keanu Reeves would not have a career.
Yeah.
He's a fucking saint. How dare you?
Nice
guy.
They
killed his dog.
My point is, I mean, we know 10 or 12, personally, we know actors here in D.C., who are better actors at the basic essential level than Keanu Reeves.
You're listening to one right
and
now.
So you just you simply don't know who's going to get...
No, exactly.
You
know,
who's
going to
get picked
luck,
out of a hat.
And
to
it
have,
is like a happenstance. Like, maybe her roommate's super connected. Who knows?
Yeah, you never know.
Who knows?
You
We're just...
Know.
for the sake of us being able to sleep at night, like, we're just kind of like, what would be a good thing to maybe push a kid who doesn't want to do anything?
I think that you should sleep at night knowing that this young woman got into a college.
Yeah.
Because I mean,
so did I, but like, you know.
And honestly, like, all joking aside, I think that it's the same thing that happens when the high school stud running back goes to college and is like, fuck, everyone is better than me.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
He's gone, like, before the end of freshman year. That could easily happen.
Okay.
And again, just like the theater program, the catty gay wideout is responsible for...
You think you're going to join the secondary? No, you're not.
You call that blocking?
No way, girl.
Yeah.
Okay, so if she does crash and burn, then she has to find something else. Then.
Exactly.
So, okay.
Yeah.
All right. No, that's like a negative from the ashes.
I think we go to college to find our people, to find our tribe, and her tribe may not end up being in the theater department. You might be surprised.
I know she's playing Quidditch. That's why I'm concerned.
There you go. She's going to be a young adult fantasy writer.
Oh, awesome. Okay. We can hope.
Oh, I love those stories when the girl's dying and the boy's also dying. Those are the best. The Fault in Our Stars, whatever we had.
John, what's that guy's name? John, what's it?
Grisham?
Green.
John Green. John, I don't know his name. I do know that guy's from Indiana. He's from Indianapolis, Indiana.
King of Indiana trivia.
If you name it, I know.
Hold on. I'm going to throw you a real fastball.
Go ahead.
What state is Hoosiers based in?
Idaho. Duh.
Just whiffed right over the plate.
Are there any more questions or challenges? We'll have a few more minutes left.
Yeah, especially challenges. We have a lot of eating stuff here.
Yeah, we have a...
Can eat 10 bags in a minute, your ticket's comped.
Any personal questions? Any personal challenges?
I have a couple of things I can throw out there, or we can get to our emailed question.
Why don't we get to an emailed question?
All right.
Cool.
This actually does involve a shitting dog of some sort.
Oh, let's leave that one out then.
Okay. All right. And we're loading. Okay, so this is from Guy Incognito.
Oh.
It's nothing personal, but I don't know if names are to be mentioned. I live in an apartment where someone moved in above me. I was worried about all the upstairs guy things. Like heavy
footsteps. All the upstairs guy things?
Yeah.
As opposed to the girl things.
Well, he gives examples of heavy footsteps, loud sex, etc. You're right. Women cannot have heavy loud
sex. No way. No.
He says, what happened is way worse. He's a dog that won't shut the fuck up.
Wait, his neighbor is a dog? His neighbor?
Yes.
A dog has rented an apartment in Berlin? That's kind of weird.
Much like the TGI Friday show, Sabrina, the Teenage Witch.
That's right, where the cat.
That adorable talking cat, yes. So this loud dog that won't shut the fuck up apparently signed lease papers and is now living upstairs. Our emailer says, I gave it a month, figured I'd let the dog get comfortable before complaining. You know, he doesn't want the upstairs neighbor to hate him.
Right, because he or she will stomp all of
them. Yeah. Place.
Right.
While the neighbor was gone, the dog barked for 5 hours straight. Nothing is working. The dog is not getting comfortable. How the hell does he play this?
Is it a condo? Is it an apartment? Isn't there an ombudsman? Isn't there some place that this person can go so that he or she doesn't have to go directly to the person above?
I actually can answer this.
Right,
I do audio freelance on the side, and that shit happens. Like, if a dog's barking, you got to get it to shut the fuck up.
Right.
There was a book I read, and it recommended, like, it was another audio, like, engineer. And caramel. Dogs can eat caramel, no problem, but they just shut the fuck up for at least 30 minutes to an hour.
So you're saying this person should break into the above apartment.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm.
With a handful of caramels.
Yes.
Yes.
Every day.
Feed them to the dog.
Every day.
I'm almost certain that's a felony.
Not if you like lob it. Like, I think I'd imagine
so
there's a patio.
should rappel out his or her window.
Yeah. Yeah.
Be
slide it under the door.
Be
in a way.
What's it? Honnold. What's his name? What's the guy? The guy.
Rommel.
What?
It was Rommel.
No, not Erwin Rommel.
Okay.
Not the Desert Fox. Erwin Rommel.
Yeah, he was known as the Desert Fox for his caramel delivery.
No, Honnold, the guy who free soloed El Capitan. What's that guy's name?
You got the wrong crowd, Mister.
The climber. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Physical activity. So, filmmakers, you saw this film, right?
Film Oscar, yes.
Yes.
Are we talking K-9, the Widowmaker?
What's his name? So he's good. This guy has got to free solo up a building, Jimmy a lock, and throw some caramels in.
Or just lob it. Like, patio, again, just keep it simple. But yeah, a dog can eat caramel for an hour. It is not poisonous to dogs. It's not like chocolate.
But
it does get them to shut the fuck up.
Again, don't you think there's an easier way, perhaps, to do this?
Lobbing's not hard.
So, throwback, a second plug, go to bluesskydrugs.com, get some Viagra. For you, for the dog, it'll all work itself out.
Alex Honnold. Alex Honnold is the guy's name.
What, he filmed himself doing...
No, he didn't film himself. He was guys, check out Free Solo. It's an amazing movie. Won the Academy Award for best documentary. Yeah, best documentary. It's fucking amazing. Fucking amazing.
I soured on the Oscars when they didn't give anything to Family Matters.
How are we going to solve what's this guy's problem? I don't think that. All right, caramels.
I mean, caramels.
Or you could. You could talk to the building manager. That would be...
Yeah. What was that fancy word you used for go-between
ombudsman.
For pussy?
Ombudsman.
Ombudsman. Okay.
Ombudsman.
Not Larry Bud Melman.
No. Okay.
Thank you.
Not Larry Bud Melman.
I'll take it.
They didn't get that. So
no, they didn't. That's fine. You know, you're ombudsman level smart. I'm Larry Bud Melman reference smart. There's different smarts.
Cool.
Yeah. So...
We're coming to the end. We have like 5 minutes left.
Yeah, we've gone pretty far as a family. We've transcended audience and performer.
We can do a rapid fire round if there's any sort of quick problems.
Or we can do my problems, whatever you guys.
We don't want to do.
Yeah, fuck my problems. Yeah. So I had a podcast and no one showed up. No.
where are we?
I'm sorry.
Where are we taking this?
We said that at the top of the show. Unified Scene Theater. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. In lovely Bloomingdale,
downtown D.C.
There you go. Well, do you guys want to do anything, or do you want to just eat the snacks I brought? Okay, someone's coming up, or he's coming to take a leak. No, he's grabbing a mic. He's grabbing a mic. This is the gentleman who had wifey problems earlier. What, were you going to do a character? I didn't give away your name.
Oh, he's going to talk in a different accent, and so we'll know that he's different. Go.
So I just turned 33, and I'm a little bit worried about getting older, right?
Yeah.
And you know what life has in store. In your 20s, it's fun, it's adventure, it's exploring new things. And I get the Wall Street Journal delivered to me every morning in hard copy, which is the first sign that I'm
good.
And you said you're only 33.
Getting older.
Print.
I was reading the life and arts style section this morning, and there was an article about a young man, a hip hop artist. His name is Corday.
Okay.
And he has bridged the gap, apparently, between newer hip-hop artists and older hip-hop artists.
Thank God,
like
that
Jay-Z
bridged me.
And,
gapping. Thank you.
And
thank
Nas. And I was reading this article.
Yes.
And Nas is the new school example, right?
Ombudsman.
And I got very excited, and I said to myself, I need to look up this gentleman's tunes.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then I realized that I was getting recommendations for rap artists.
From the Wall Street Journal.
The Wall Street Journal.
Yeah, that's your problem right there.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how can I be more fun as I get older?
So again, between new school and old school rap, so you mean like the Wu-Tang Clan and the Fat Boys. That's our generous. No, I mean, it just... That stuff used to eat me up that I wasn't at the vanguard of music, especially. I think music, I can't speak to kids that at 15 can Snapchat their private parts to each other because I'd probably be doing that.
How do we get there?
Everything goes there. All roads lead to Rome, sir. But when I was a kid in the 90s, like music was my everything, and I can only look back and be thankful that I have more in my life than getting like Megadeth's latest CD. And so to not know what's going on in the world of rap, that's because like you get to drink legally. You have a wife and you can touch her boobs on occasion. And
no hair.
Yeah, an au pair to do things with as she unclogs the toilet. So just music is so far. That's like the little kid priority, knowing good music. You can dip in from time to time. I do it on occasion. It's like watching SNL to me. Every 5 years, I want to say I've seen one episode, and you're like, fuck, I'm all caught up. And then you're done for another 5 years. And let's bleep out the part about the Snapchat, because that got awkward.
All right, well then from this article, can I get your two gentlemen's opinion on a rapper named Juice WRLD? I believe that's Juice WRLD.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Juice WRLD? Doesn't every rapper get to date a Kardashian at some point? That's just the rite of passage. Yeah. All right, Sean, thoughts?
I'm unfamiliar with Juice WRLD. I'm unfamiliar with what's happening in the realm of rap. I'm a 52-year-old paunchy old man. I shouldn't be familiar with Juice WRLD.
Exactly, yeah.
Legally, I shouldn't be familiar with Juice WRLD. But that hasn't stopped me from having fun. And let me tell you what fun looks like to a 52-year-old man, okay?
Classes at the Unified Scene Theater?
Yeah. Don't worry about it. Who gives a shit?
Yeah, like, that's the best part about getting... Like, that is a fun part of being old. Like, the flagging erections, not so fun.
Mm-hmm.
But knowing that your life has gotten so much better that you could just do the old man, I don't give a shit about your young kid's artist. I learned about someone named, like, Deja Cow, I think, or Deja Cat. Deja Cat, there you go, a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, exactly. And you know what? I looked up her video for 5 seconds. That linked to a post on BoSip about Deja Cat being, quote, thicker than frozen peanut butter. And I watched that video of her dancing for a bit, and her rump was indeed thicker than frozen peanut butter. And then we called it a day. That was me catching up with 2018's pop culture. It's great. There's Netflix, dude. Why the fuck do you care about... Have you watched Pen 15 on Hulu? Why do you care about music? There is Pen 15 to watch.
We got a question in the back.
All right. Step up to the mic.
This is our final question before
final question.
Thank you very much.
All right, thanks. I'm a full-time language student, so I'm in language class 5 hours a day.
Do you mind my asking which language?
Vietnamese?
Very good. Okay. Cool.
And I have a male Vietnamese teacher who's from Vietnam, and mm-hmm. he's very sexist and only allows the male in the class to answer questions and has all the speaking time.
Mm-hmm.
How do I deal with that?
Do you have an ombudsman?
Yes.
I actually do. I do have an ombudsman. I do have an ombudsman.
No, well, is this through like a university?
No, it's a language institute.
Language institute. So... I'm sure the school, is it a nonprofit or a for-profit school?
Government.
It's a government school.
Yeah.
The school should have policies in place that clearly prevent this.
Have you tried giving him caramel?
No.
Do you know who Alex Honnold is?
No.
I think that there's an easy way around this. I don't want to present that. You go to the people who are the head of this guy's department and say, look, I'm not getting the same experience that I'm paying for. I'm sitting in the same class with among male students who are paying the same price. I'm not getting the level of education I deserve. Let's do something about this.
Yeah.
And what are you going to tell her to do?
Yeah.
Juice WRLD. There's a rapper.
So there's this
listen
really,
to a rapper named Juice WRLD.
There's this Mexican Viagra. No. Are you familiar with the 1985 hit Just One of the Guys? later, the same premise was used by Amanda Bynes. I'm trying to place the film name. The soccer movie.
Yeah.
Where she did her hair up like a little boy and kind of dressed like a guy.
Right.
Stuck a tampon.
Was it Bend 'Em Like Beckham?
It wasn't Bend 'Em Like Beckham. Beckham, that was made in England. It's an English movie. Yeah. Keira Knightley. It's right.
No, I'm trying to remember it. Is it Bend It Like Beckham? Okay. She's the man? Okay. She's the man. There you go.
So, ooh, that's a good idea, though. Why don't you go into class... Dressed like a man.
That's a good idea. There's only three of us in the class.
Like, take mascara and, like, paint a mustache on you.
There's
like,
only three of us in the class.
I'm going to talk in a deeper voice. I just, why don't you call on me?
I know the answer.
I'm not Dana.
I'm Dan.
Ask
the follow-up question.
I don't know what it is.
Oh, no. Okay, so follow-up question.
Why are you asking this poor woman's follow-up question?
Well, what the fuck? She doesn't get enough sexism in class?
Jesus. Oh, are you going to mansplain her question to us? You know, what she actually meant was, what she wanted to ask was...
Are you going
to
knock her teeth out like Sean did?
Oh, so then we were talking. I was talking about how I'm not very good at the Vietnamese tones, and the way to really do it is to speak as if I'm impersonating a Vietnamese person.
Right.
But it feels like.
What does it sound like?
Demonstration.
Yeah.
It feels like I'm. I don't know. It feels wrong to do it, even though that's what I'm supposed to be doing.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
I kind of get what you're saying. It feels weird. I took German for a bit, and you got a little.
You just talk like Arnold. Yeah. Willst du dieses Jahr Sport treiben?
Yeah.
Ich treibe Fußball.
I'm just not there.
Wo wohnen Sie? Ich wohne am dem Straße Westfalen.
Yeah. Like. Yeah. Here's my don't be a racist crib sheet. Like, no, any kind of eyelid shit. Leave that out if that's what you're talking about.
What the fuck is wrong with you? What the fuck is wrong with you?
Full circle.
Yeah. That's.
What accent are you allowed to still do? You did a British accent earlier.
Mm-hmm.
So colonial powers you can do. So Germany, right?
I specifically ask for European accents whenever I ask for like an accent in a class. Because
don't punch down.
But don't punch down. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I do a Puerto Rican character that's a professor.
You're also a
Yo, it's a existentialism. I think that's all the time we have for What the Fuck Is Wrong With You. Thank you all for showing
up.
Papa, do you want to tell us what you want to plug? What do you want to plug real quick?
Well, you can find the show. We're going to upload it to the Papa's Basement website. That's in papasbasement.com. P-A-P-A apostrophe S basement on Stitcher, on iTunes. I took a bunch of Mexican Viagra, so I'll get it up tomorrow. Hello. And that's about it. You'll find it there. And mystery person number 5 over there is going to upload the video at some point, and we'll have a weird fisheye video of it. Yeah.
Cool. You can see shows at the Unified Scene Theater in Bloomingdale, Washington.
What about classes?
Classes are available on our website, unifiedscenetheater.com. Follow us on Twitter, Unified Scene DC, Insta, Unified Scene DC. We're currently registering for a number of classes, 12, a record number of classes that we're currently registering for. Yeah, most of them starting in April and May, but we have a few workshops throughout the month of March.
Do you allow women to talk in your class?
No, not at all.
Well, now that the world is safe, we can end on that note. Again, everyone, thank you.
Thank you all very much.
That ought to hold those little SOBs. Wasn't that a great episode? I wouldn't lie to you, even though it would behoove me to do so. All right, like I promised, there is a bonus question at the very end. This is only my advice because Sean is 25 miles away from me, living it up like the king of DC that he is, and I am in Virginia's dirty suburbs where I belong. Here is the question from Sensuous in Charlotte. It's alliterative when you say it out loud. I have a toddler who sleeps in his own room and an infant who sleeps in our room. The American Academy of Pediatrics recommends babies sleep in their parents' room until they're a year old. Oh shit, I think I see where this is going, but I will continue. What are we supposed to do about having sex? Ah, it went exactly where I wanted it to go. We've had it a couple of times since the youngest was born, but it's so awkward getting it on while there's a baby in the room sleeping. It feels dirty and wrong. Is it really? Well, I'm going to say this. I don't think a line is crossed unless you make the baby hold the camera. And on a serious note, no. Babies are stupid. They don't remember shit. You can do anything to a baby that's a year old. You could hold its hand in boiling water.
I wouldn't recommend that. But the point is, the kid wouldn't hold it against you. Do whatever. Bang right in front of the baby. You can make it hold the camera. It wouldn't remember. It would have shaky little hands, though. Babies are weak. All right. So, yeah, go for it. Bang a ton. Don't use the baby as a cop-out to not fuck. Fucking's good. All right. That's it. That's our answer. Sean would be disgusted by it, but he's not here to set me on the right course. So that's what you got, people. Hope you enjoyed it. Share it. Goodbye.